So, how is everyone? We're missing quite a few people this morning from people being gone. I know that Big Dave and them are down in San Antonio having a blast. Lauren is in Florida having a blast. We have some people sick, some people moving today, but it's good to be here today. So, there's some good stuff in today's message that I'm going to get to, I think. So this is my third Thanksgiving message that I have given from being the interim pastor and pastor here at Cornerstone. For the people that haven't been here for the entire time, from the founding pastor Randy and Joe and then myself, wouldn't remember all the messages that we've heard and seen, but I get to give my very first one was in a kind of a tough time for Cornerstone, for the people that have been here whenever we transitioned from Pastor Joe Ward to a new leadership team and to me being the interim pastor and all that kind of stuff. So a lot of stuff has happened, and I intend on sometime today going back and looking at what the message was back then and trying to see how I've grown in the last three times that I've had the opportunity to share a Thanksgiving message. So it's always awesome, and I always look forward to the Christmas season for all the messages that I get to share then, and this year is going to be no different. I'm pretty excited about it. I'm going to be doing something new and different, so I'm excited about that. But what a exciting year has been for Cornerstone, for those of you that have been around, right? Because we've seen a whole lot of things. We have a whole lot of things to be thankful for this year, and I'm grateful for all the things that God's doing in like a tiny group of people, the people that we have here in the church. Thinking back, like, I was praying so much, God, please, 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 we need to get some youth into this church so that we can start doing some really cool stuff and going and doing some things, and they're the next generation. We need to be pouring into kids. And as I'm praying for this, I start realizing that we'd had a lot of families join us that have little bitty kids, and you know, up to like 6, 7, 10 small kids. So as a leadership team, we got together and I kind of pointed that out. Like, we don't have any people coming in with youth, but we have all these little kids coming in. We have some youth that have been coming for the last year, but we were seeing more families with young kids. So I talked to them and said, what can we do? And we had our very first youth carnival. You guys remember the youth carnival? How many of you guys got to be part of the youth carnival? Yeah, it was a whole bunch of us. It was a lot of fun. Cheeto was here. He was one of the puppets. I don't remember which puppet, but that was one of his first appearances here at the church. So it was a blast to do that. And then, so we had that going on. It was a lot of fun. We didn't get to have our summer thing. Like, we want to try to do something in June because the Oakdale Park was closed down for some mess up in the pool or something, so we weren't able to get that. So we didn't get to do that, but we still had a good carnival and had a lot of fun. And then we've had some at least one new family, if not two, officially join the church, sign the dotted line. A lot of people that are still church family that have been coming for a long time. So, like, we've been blessed. We're a small group today, but there's times in the last year that we've had like 40 people in here. And while that's not a lot compared to some other churches, we're growing. We're seeing some growth. God's bringing some people in here, and it's exciting. And there's been a lot more stuff here lately that I'm kind of excited about. But like every year, from the very first time that I was the interim pastor, my view has always been like outside of the church. We need to do things outside of the church. We need to let people know that we love Jesus, and we have to do that outside of these walls. We do that inside by them coming here to us, but we need to do things outwardly also. So the very first year, me and the guys, it was Travis and Big Dave at the time, we were praying, like, how many families do we think that we can feed this Thanksgiving as a church? As a new church, kind of, we're just figuring things out. We're trying to figure out where we can go. We don't want to put too much on any family. So how many families can we feed? And we decided on the number 5. Do you guys remember if we came through on 5 people? Absolutely, we did. I think we fed like 7 or 8. So we did good on the first year. And then like last year, I'm praying like, God, like you came through in a big way, more than what we thought that we could do. You came through on that. So what should we do this year? And then I tell the guys, like, hey, let's just double it. See what happens. You know, worst case, we don't meet it, but let's just double it. So last year we said, let's feed 10 families. And so we're coming up to the last minute, like we're asking church family, do you know anybody? And we get a couple people. We're like, wow, we need 10 though. So we end up going to the gathering, and we have people fill out little papers, and we draw out, I think, 10 there. So we fed like 13 families last year, a few that the church had recommended. And then we fed 10 more from the gathering. But there were still a lot of names inside of that little bucket that we had. So this year, it's like, God, how many should we feed this year? What can we look at doing? Like, I want to see just how, because I still feel like my view is still so narrow of how big God is. Like, I see all the things He does. I see the changes in my life. I see the change in the church. I see us growing. I see all these things, but I still think my view is kind of narrow. So I'm like, let's just pick something way out there. Like, what's too many that we don't think we can do as a small body? We're looking at our budget, and we're going, man, we're making our budget, but we don't have a lot of excess. We haven't had a lot of stuff we can throw into the benevolence and all this. But then, like, let's just try to double again. Let's just work on doubling. So 5, 10, and then this year we shot a goal for 20 families. So 20 families. God, you're big. If you can fill 20 families from our little body, that's actually really, really good. So that's what we're praying for. Our church family alone, like, y'all, we fed way more than the 10 people, just us. And then I think that it must have happened in one of the videos that I did, a live video that I mentioned, that we were doing this, but people outside of our church started giving to us to feed more families. They want us to feed more. I'm like, what? So we're up there at work, and this lady comes in, and she says, my daughter saw y'all's videos online, and I told her on the phone that I would be there. So like, she just randomly showed up. I don't want anybody to think that. She shows up, and she's saying, so how are you guys doing on the budget? Are y'all going to be able to make the 20? I'm like, oh, yeah, we totally have the 20 covered. But if we have some more, we're going to try to feed some more families. And she goes, well, where are you guys at right now? I'm like, I don't know, like 600, 700, maybe a little bit more. She says, well, my daughter is giving y'all $400 more. That's almost enough to have fed another 20 people, right? And then someone else was talking to them, and it was the lady that does the gathering. Hey, can we come in there and do 20 meals at the gathering? And she says, oh yeah, y'all do. I want to help y'all with that this year. So she helps out more, and we end up with, like, we fed 10, like Amber said, this week. We gave it to families in need. Like, there's something that goes on at the school where they give to the children there, but we added on top of that to feed families. 10 of them was taken to the school. And then on Tuesday, Amber's going to go and pick up 20 more families worth of food to take up to the gathering place. And we only have 18 people that filled out the form, but we've had a couple more add to that. And if you guys know of some family in town that's hurting during this Thanksgiving season and then Christmas coming up, we have enough to buy more food, and we want to bless people that way. So isn't God amazing? I mean, that's just this year. And it's been cool to get to see that whole thing unfold to me and just see how big God is and how God comes through. So I'm like incredibly thankful for you guys' hearts for Jesus and wanting to take care of our community and other people that have seen what, and it's not really what we're doing. It's that we're being obedient to what God tells us to do, and we're going out and we're taking care of people in the community. We're showing them the love of Jesus, and I believe God put it on these people's hearts to feed more people through us. So I don't want to take any credit for that. I want to give all that to God. He came through completely and totally on this. So it's awesome. So today I want to think about, we're coming into Thanksgiving, and think about having a thankful heart. And that seems to kind of go along with Thanksgiving anyway. So let's read what the Apostle Paul wrote to the Colossian church whenever he was in prison. So if you guys would turn to that, or it's going to be up on the screen. But I think that it's important that we note that he wrote this to the church at Colossae from prison, because Peter, even in the worst circumstances, being in prison or captivity, he was still writing these letters of encouragement to churches and teaching these churches. No matter what his circumstances were, he always seemed to be thankful and grateful to God no matter what was going on in his life. And that's amazing to me to see that he could go through this whole thing and still be so grateful. Because like me, and I don't know about you guys, I can come down 144 into town, you know, like from Walnut Springs, I live out there, come into town, and I get there to David's, and there's a line of cars going all the way down to the stop sign. I can start getting aggravated that I'm having to wait in line. Like the last thing that I think about whenever I pull up and there's 20 cars is, man, I'd just take the time and start writing a letter to some churches around here. Now, you guys may do that, but I don't really think like that. So my circumstances can dictate a different attitude. Now, I've come a long way. I don't get angry anymore whenever I pull up there and these cars are trying to make me late for work because I should have left sooner, as Patrick would tell me when we're caught up late. So I can get to be selfish. And Paul was in prison, and he's still writing these letters. Now, he's not at a stop sign for just a few minutes like what I am. He's there for a long period of time, but he's still always. So it does humble me to think of that distance that I've come from where I once was, of where I would have just been livid and may have even spun a U-ey and tried to go some other direction that would have turned out to be longer to get there, but just out of being mad that there were cars in my way, to just like, oh man, cars again. I should have gotten here sooner. But Paul, he was always sharing Jesus, no matter where he was at or what he had going on. So at this point, I want to look at Colossians 3. We're going to start at verse 12. He's got some things going on here. He's talking about putting on our new self, and that he wants to that we need to put these things behind us, like impurity, passion, evil desire, covetousness, and idolatry. And then he moves into we need to put away our anger and wrath and malice and slander, and we need to put on these things that we're about to read here. These are the things that we need to put on. Put on them as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing against one another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to you which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. So now let's break that apart a little bit. Back to verse 12. Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved. That's us, believers. We're God's chosen ones. We're holy and beloved. Put on compassionate hearts. Put on kindness. Put on humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another. And if one of you has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. So I don't think that it's by accident that Paul is saying that we need to forgive before we can be thankful. Before thankfulness. Because how can we really be thankful if we're harboring anger, resentment, or problems with one of our brothers or sisters or friends or anyone? How can we really be thankful in all things, like we're going to do, in all things, if we're harboring something that we need to just forgive someone, if we're holding that up in our hearts? Forgiveness always seems to be a really good thing whenever we're receiving that from someone, whenever we've done something to someone else and they're forgiving us, but it's always much more difficult whenever we are the ones that need to forgive someone, right? So I'm not the only one that's noticed that. So we have to love all people And we can't love someone who we're not willing to forgive. So love is the next thing that he tells us to do. He says to put love above all other things. So put love above compassionate hearts, above kindness, above humility, meekness, and patience, because that's what binds us together. Christ, love above all things. But it's kind of amusing that, like, if we put on Christ's love, then don't that make us humble and allow us to put on meekness and do all the other things he tells us to do? If we have Christ's love in our hearts, then the rest should be rather easy to do. And then next he says, to let the peace of Christ rule your hearts, end sentence, and be thankful, end sentence. And be thankful. So just this little sentence there at the end of the other sentence, three words, and be thankful. So I want those three words to be the ones that resonate with us the most today. And be thankful. If we let those words resonate into our lives, I think our lives would be completely different if we're just thankful for all things. If we're grateful to God for all the things that he provides to us. And see, he takes it like Jesus always did. Jesus is the one that said, and he's the one that made it very clear to us that at one time, I hope I'm not skipping ahead, but at one time, people thought that it was the outward actions wore the sins. If we just harbored this stuff inside of us, then we weren't really sinning. It's whenever we acted out on things that we commit the sin. But Jesus is the one that says, if you hate your brother, then it's like murder. If you lust after a woman, then it's like committing adultery. He made it heart issues instead of just outward acts. And so here Paul is saying, whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of Jesus. So that's not just the things that we say, that's our actions, the things that we do. So this year, we talked about last December, we're going to make 2016 be the year that we were trying to be more devoted to God, that we were going to try to draw closer to him, that we were going to do everything that we could to make Jesus our main focus, to become closer to him in everything. So in the last 10 plus months, we're into November now, if you look back to January 1st all the way up to today, could you take everything that you've said and everything that you've done and go up to Jesus and say, hey, will you just, you know, sign right here next to all these things? I don't think that I could. We have all these different things, like things that we say without thinking. And I wouldn't want to walk up to Jesus and say, hey, sign right here where I said this right here. I just want you to sign next to it like it's something that you would have said. Or this thing, maybe I was angry with Amber and said something, or angry with someone else and said something, or maybe I acted out in some way that wouldn't have been something that I would want to be a representation of Jesus. All those things are things that I wouldn't want Jesus to sign next to. In word and in deed, it's been better every single year that I spend in this. Every single year that I try to draw closer to him, it gets to be better, but I still lack in so many different ways. But in everything, we're to be thankful to God for everything that we've done. It's hard to be thankful whenever we're doing things that are wrong. We do things sometimes, we forget that we're a representation of him here on earth. We are ambassadors from the kingdom of heaven here on earth, people watching us. We're representing Christ. Paul said to imitate him while he imitated Christ. A lot of things that I do and probably you guys do aren't very good imitations of what Christ would be like. So we wouldn't want him to sign off on every single thing that we've done. But I'm so thankful for his grace. Like that we mess up and that he still loves us so much. Just like the song this morning, how he loves. He loves us so much that in spite of ourselves, in spite of those things that we can't get him to sign off, we can ask him for forgiveness. And it says that he will forgive us as far as the east is from the west. Forgotten. It's gone. So I'm excited about that. But I want to still encourage you guys and encourage myself to represent him well. Know that people are watching. Know that people are looking for ways that we don't look Christ-like. And I think of this thing, I saw it on Facebook, and there was a Christian post, and I read it, and then I read down through the comments, and I see this one where this guy comes in and says, think of any time in the last 100 years that Christians weren't responsible for a war. And he's like, no, you know what, even think of 50 years. And I'm going, what? Like, Jesus has never told us to go to war. Even the Crusades was someone else moving in against Christianity and Christians defending themselves. It's never about them conquering or going after anyone. So we see these skewed things out there that are just a big mess. And people are looking at that. They see them going and doing things. They see people throwing trash out their windows. They see us being angry. They see us out in public on Sunday afternoons at restaurants and acting out toward the waitresses or the hostess or whoever. They see those things. It's like, and those people over there, they're the ones that are aligned with Christ. I'm like, they're really not. Like, I can't see into their hearts, but that's not a true representation of Christ whenever we're acting like that. We need to be like the Scriptures say here tonight and put love, Christ's love, above all other things and be loving toward people. So as we go into this season and every year that we know that we're representing him, we need to be thankful. Be thankful for your family. Be thankful for your friends. Be thankful for everything that God has given you and recognize him in all things. But don't set up for a fall like Nebuchadnezzar did last week. Like he looked around and said, look at this whole kingdom that I have built up. This is mine. I thought of the ways to go in and conquer all these other areas, my armies, through my guidance. This is all mine. And then what did God do? Knocked him right off of that pedestal and ran things just fine without him, showing him that he really wasn't needed, that God had placed him there. And he recognized that. But above everything, above family, friends, great co-workers, everything, we need to be thankful that he provided a way that we could have eternal life. That in spite of all of our mistakes, all the ways that we disobey, all the ways that we sin, that he still loved us even whenever we weren't returning his love and acting like good ambassadors for him. And these things are things that we can do not just out in public for people to see. These are things that we can do behind closed doors with our attitudes. We can still sin when people aren't watching. And it's those things also that weigh on us that we have to be forgiven of, that we need to pray for, that we need to be forgiven. And he'll forget that. So we need to be thankful for Jesus also, because he gave us this mission. He told us to go out and to make disciples, baptize them, teach them to obey everything that he commanded. And he says he'll be with us always. Our mission at Cornerstone, we keep saying, is to lead people to Christ and be conformed into his image. The harvest is plentiful. We just have to go out and sow. We have to get out there and tell people about this good news of Jesus Christ that came and can save us from our sins. People need to know, especially the more and more and more that people want to move away from God and get God out of everything. It's important that people know, because they're burdened by those sins. No matter what they think, they're still burdened by their sins. And Jesus is the only way to release that. So let's pray that God would help us to have thankful hearts this week, going into our Thanksgiving time with our family, with our friends, with the time that we're going to be spending this week, that he would just turn our hearts towards him so that we can love people the way that he does. Thanksgiving is a time, right, where people can get together and then family feuds start up. So let's pray over that now, that that kind of thing doesn't happen, that it's just peaceful, that we're able to share Christ's love with everyone around us this Thanksgiving. God, we just come before you, looking to you, God, the source of everything for us. We're coming into the Thanksgiving season. We're about to spend time with our friends and family, and we're giving thanks to you, God, for your provision. You provide so many things for us that we don't really recognize. Again, most of us have too much, and we have a hard time recognizing that you've given us everything, that you continue to give us, that you love us in spite of ourselves. God, we thank you for providing that way that we can get to you, that you sent your Son here on earth so that we could live. God, today I want to pray that this coming Thursday on Thanksgiving Day, that we stay focused on you, that we spend the time with family and friends, and that we're grateful and thankful that we have them with us there. God, that we would recognize that you provided a meal when there's so many people out there that may be doing without, that you will give us a heart of thankfulness for that. God, make us bold in our faith as we're coming to a close on this year. It seems like it just wasn't that long ago that we're coming into this new year, and now we're about to go into 2017. And we just had a tough election process, God. We want you to just help us to move past that into the future and be thankful for the freedoms that we have in this country. And God, help us to continue lifting up the leaders in our communities and in our states and in the federal government. Lord, work on our hearts. Mold us to be what you would have us be. We want to be good ambassadors from your kingdom. We want to represent you well. And we want to be thankful. God, help us to run to you this week in all things. Help us to run to you all the time in all things. Help us to hear ourselves better, to hear our thoughts, and to ask you to go in and remove the thoughts that we shouldn't have, to help us to be more loving towards all those around us. Such an awesome God, and your plan is more awesome than we can even possibly realize on this side of heaven. We know that it's awesome because you are an awesome God. It's in the name of Jesus that we ask for these things. Amen.